Our scripture passage this morning is actually the very end of the whole passage that I read on Easter morning. And there's a reason, and you may wonder why. You know, why would we be having just part of this passage one more time? And the reason is this. You know, for as many times as I have heard the whole passage of the resurrection, Easter morning, heard it, read it, contemplated it, and again, as happened in preparing the Easter message, there are so many levels, there are so many layers, and one of the things that happened to me this year as I was just, you know, reading it over and over and over again is that at the very end, I think it was on Saturday at some point, there were just these two words that almost like lifted up off of the page. And those two words are repentance and forgiveness. And I thought, why? Why is it that this is, after all was said and done with the whole resurrection, that why is it that among all of the things, all of the messages, the infinite number of messages that Jesus could have focused on as offering as a core message at that particular point, post-resurrection, it's a very critical time when people have got to be way more attuned than at all the other times to what he would say. Why did he very intentionally choose this specific focus that really boils down to two words? And here's this passage. Luke says, and they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. The they that he's referring to were the two apostles, Cleopas and one other, who met Jesus on the road after Easter day, and they were talking with him. And Luke says, they, those two, found the 11 gathered together. And they told them what happened on the road, how the risen Christ was made known to them in the breaking of the bread. And as they were saying this, Jesus himself stood among them. And he said to them, why are you troubled? Why do you question in your hearts? See my hands and my feet. It is I. Handle me, he said. Handle me. See me. And while they still disbelieved for joy and wondered, he said to them, these are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you. And then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said, thus it is written that the Christ will suffer and on the third day will rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be preached in my name to all nations. And this is our reading, and may God bless our understanding of this word of amazing, abundant life and love. Amen. So repentance, and forgiveness. Okay, why that? Is it like the carrot and the stick? You know? So just to practice, I'm going to practice a little mind reading right here, okay? And that is, I bet that when I say the word repentance, that it doesn't conjure up real super warm, loving feelings in you. Is that right? Does anybody here, you know, you hear the word repentance? Does anyone here go, ah, oh, wonderful, wonderful. But I tell you what I propose today is that is that in just a short while, I think we're going to feel very differently. And I think that it's not just going to be for this moment. I think that we're going to feel very differently about it, and it's going to really last forever. Because when you get to understand what Christ really intended by this, what he meant by it, not what other people have done to it, not how other institutions have maybe taken it and manipulated or twisted it and changed it somehow maybe for their own purposes, their own ends, but you get into it in terms of what did he actually mean? It feels very, very different. And just to begin with, along those lines, let's just start with this in terms of what it's not. Just to lay it right out there. Repentance is not about feeling badly about yourself. It's not, its purpose is not to feel guilty. It's not to get us to feel ashamed. Right? What he's talking about really is an extremely positive transformation process. And what that is it's transforming away from how we don't want to feel, from the stuff that we would love to get rid of, transforming to the way of being that we would have as our ideal when we shine, when we are completely free, when we are so filled with love that it just breaks forth. It's like when you're a kid, you know, and when you're, you know, when you're a kid and you're told, well, you got to wash your hands. You're told, well, you know, you got to go take a shower, right? And as a kid, you go, oh, come on. As an adult, right, you go, you know, shower time? Sometimes that's the best time of the day, right? Oh, just the warm water. It's just this wonderful, wonderful feeling. Get rid of the grime, right? Clean up. How good is that? So, I'll tell you some more of the thoughts that go into us. So, last Sunday and last week, actually, we finished up our ride on Monday and then Tuesday, and Laura and I had gone down to take a shakedown ride for our trip that's coming up this summer, and you know, to try things out and work out the kinks. And so we rode our bikes from Key Largo to Key West in 3 days, and then we took a day off, and then we rode back in 2 days from Key West to Key Largo. Fabulous, fabulous. But it was funny because I was thinking about repentance on vacation. And it may not be what you think. This wasn't the Vegas, you know, the Vegas trip or anything. We were sitting by a hotel pool one day. And I bet like you, you know, I love to watch people. Fascinating, right? You watch people, you kind of read their body language, look at their facial expressions. Sometimes, you know, in the crowd, you kind of overhear parts of conversations. And, you know, looking over the group of people, kind of this large group that was at a hotel pool one day, there were couples there, obviously. There were groups of friends and some singles, and there were family, there were some grandparents, there were teenagers and children, so people of all ages. And it was funny, it was interesting, because looking at the children, now the children, when the children are there on vacation, They are just obviously loving it, right? And they're like, ah, you know, and kind of, you know, running when they're not supposed to run. Like, this is awesome. And, you know, shouting, arms going everywhere, going a little crazy and stuff. Oddly, the adults are like, you know, right? not doing the same things. You know, it seems like the adults were pleased, certainly inwardly enjoying, certainly welcoming the experience, right? But not what you would consider at least overt bliss, which I thought was weird. It's a little weird because we were in bliss. We were in bliss. And if you can't be in bliss when you're in, you know, when you're in that environment, there it's a little weird. There's something a little off, right? So I thought, what's going on? Because there we were. Now, I know last Sunday here, it was like the freeze warnings, ice warnings, so forth. There, it's 85. It's sunny. You know, we're there by the pool, heaven on earth. You could have a drink by the pool. You could be in the sun, or you could be in the shade. You know, you could be in the lounge chair. You could be sitting under the palm trees, you know, looking out over the sparkling blue, aqua green, emerald green, you know, these colors of the ocean. And you know, except for gravity, because you didn't have wings, except for gravity, it's really, it's heaven on earth, right? In addition, every person there, except for the wait staff, is on vacation. Everyone there. So literally, you are the most free you can possibly be on earth. So obviously, everyone is just beaming, right? And just like, oh my, you know, and just kind of floating and beaming and enjoying. You know? Not exactly. What's holding you back? Right? If you look around at the faces of the people, and it's interesting, all shapes and sizes, and believe me, when people are in bathing suits, you see all the shapes and sizes. Reading the body language, overhearing these conversations, and it's kind of, except for the costumes and the external scenery, it's kind of the same stuff that's going on as everyday life, in a way. People talking about business, news, you know, their exchanges going back and forth between people. You know, many good things, some not so good things. You know, with some, there's this couple of people that, you know, there's some couples, and you can tell that there's obviously something not really great going on. You know, frustrations, disappointments, you know, saw one, you know, kind of walk away from the, you know, the spouse actually walking away kind of in the water. It's like, oh, wow. Same things there as anywhere. Different costumes, different settings. Reminded me of a phrase that I think about very often. It's, wherever you go, there you are. Right? Wherever you go, no matter where you go, you take yourself with you. You can't leave yourself behind. So you can move yourself to a place of external bliss, under a palm tree, change the temperature, freedom and beauty going on outside, idyllic. But if what you've got going on in here and in here is not that beauty, and is not that bliss, and is not that incredible freedom, then you take that with you. That's what you experience, regardless of external environment. You take your attitude with you. You take your problems with you. You take your past with you. You take your joy with you. You take your inner freedom with you wherever you go. You take your grace, your blessings with you. Wherever you go, you take your soul with you. Wherever you go, there you are. And that is very good news. That is very, very good news. Because Christ, during his life, even upon his resurrection, when he said, you know, these are the things that I said to you while I was here, kept trying every which way he possibly could to get us to consider what is it that we want to take with us every darn place we go, and what is it that you don't want to take with you everywhere you go? What don't you want to haul around everywhere you go? What do you want to let go of and not take with you? The garbage, the annoying, cumbersome, inhibiting stuff that prevents you from going, bitterness, pride, leaving it behind, letting it go, jealousy, gossip. People gossiping on vacation. Judgment. The little things, you know, the accumulation of so many little things like, geez, I wouldn't wear those pants, I don't know. Okay, that guy's voting for who? You know, judgment, I've come to realize judgment among all the heaviest one. And we don't notice it because we can get in habits of judging, kind of naming, oh, I don't like this, I wouldn't do that. And the cumulative weight and habit of all of these different things, you know, when I notice this going on in myself, you know, these days now, I catch myself because it's a habit, and when I notice it, I just go, you know, I'm just going to let go of those judgments. It's just, you know, it's just not worth it. It is just not worth the feelings that are associated with that. Even with those thoughts about myself, even with those thoughts that we have about ourselves, judging ourselves constantly, you know. Oh, geez, I can't believe I did that. Judgment. Better not do that. You know, oh my gosh, there I go again. It's the little judgments. And just noticing that and going, you know, I just want to let go of that. It's just really not worth it. What a gift to leave that behind, put it aside, you know. And the wonderful thing is I have so many opportunities throughout the day to practice that. Again and again, moments of anger, blame, so forth. So many opportunities to not let these things spoil my experience of people who I'm with, of the setting in which I find myself, to not let it spoil my bliss, you know, turning away and then turning towards. So this practice of turning away from those things that inhibit, those things that drag you down, and turning towards grace, love, kindness, heaven, those things that give you bliss. See, that's the process of repentance, literally. Because when you take a look at the word, the Greek word repent, right, metanoio, it means to turn and to change one's mind, to change one's heart. So we turn away from the stuff that we don't want mucking up in our soul, turn towards love, bliss, kindness, patience, resolve, all the qualities that Christ described, and we wash, rinse, and repeat. Wash, rinse, repeat. Cleaning up our act, beautiful thing. So we can enjoy, so we can be that presence to help other people enjoy as well. I was on Facebook last week and I saw a beautiful quote from an Eastern holy man, Ramana Maharshi. who said this, said, "Your own self-realization is the greatest service you can render to the world." Right? Albert Einstein said, "Insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result." So I would say that repentance and forgiveness are anti-insanity, literally, because they're the opposite of doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. It's intentionally creating a different result and a different interior, shedding that which is not of God, that which is not good, that which doesn't feel good, that which doesn't do good. Welcome God, that which is good, that which feels good. So, you know, I think, of course, from among all of the myriad of options, all of the myriad of things that Jesus could have chosen as his focus at that most teachable moment, I think, of course, he would be saying, do yourself an eternal favor. Clean up your act. Embrace bliss. Another way he said that was he said, you know, the kingdom of heaven is within. He said, the kingdom of heaven is within. Now, if there are times when it doesn't feel like the kingdom of heaven within, there's a reason for that. And many times it's not because of the external environment. It's not because there are not enough palm trees or because it's 5 degrees too cool or too warm. But maybe in here and in here, there's something that we want to clean up because it's spoiling our experience. If you feel that, though, don't start judging yourself for judging yourself. Oh, there I go. Oh, darn it. Oh, stupid. For judging myself. Repent, forgive, turn, let go, repeat. Just close with this little story, wonderful little story. So our daughter, Audra, is going to be graduating in 5 weeks from college. 5 weeks from college, education major, double major, education, special education, early elementary education, special education. Now, kind of the mind blower is that she's graduating in 5 weeks. When we came here to Southport, she was 5 weeks old. Right. So, and as of last week, it just got set, she's going to be graduating, and she actually accepted a teaching position. Teaching assistant position, wonderful, Greens Farms Academy, thank God. Right down the street, and it's this position that's designed specifically for graduates to have responsibility and also then support them at the same time for going on for their master's degree program, right? So, God bless them. And I know that one of the reasons why she went into teaching has to do with the experiences that she had, the wonderful mentors with some teachers along the way. And she had one teacher, Mrs. Miss. I don't know if any of your kids had her. Mrs. Miss at Mill Hill School. Is she still teaching? She's still there? Oh, my God. So Mrs. Miss, kindergarten teacher. So this thing has stuck with me, obviously. And so one day when Laura was dropping off Audra at school and for some reason, you know, was in the classroom or something, and one of the kids is melting down, right? Something, some disaster having to do with a cubby or, you know, lunch or, you know, the jacket or something like that doesn't fit. Total meltdown, right? And, you know, and when that happens, then it goes from like kid to kid and it just turns into this big thing. And so after she got the kids kind of settled again, she said, okay, class, let's just come, just beautifully, calmly, lovingly, let's just come right over here and sit down, and they did. And then she said, now let's just start this day all over again. Right? How wonderful. Sometimes I say to myself, we say to each other sometimes, we go, let's just start this day all over again. Might be 9:30 in the morning. Right? Let's just start this day. I say to other people sometimes, you know, let's just start this day all over again. Just to be able to, you know, let yourself close your eyes, get rid of that bad energy, welcome the love, welcome God. I think he leads me beside the still waters, makes me lie down in green pastures. He restores my soul. Let's just start this day all over again. Let's start this week all over again. Let's start this life from now forward. Let's just start this all over again. Christ says yes. That's what we do. For yourself, for others. We have our past, but we don't let our past have us. And forgiveness, 1 minute. Because I'm not going to hold you either for who and what you don't want to be anymore. I'm not going to hold you to who you used to be. I'm not going to remind you. I'm not going to lock you into your past. I'm not going to remind you of your mistakes, of your failures, of your regrets, of those things that you want to make different in your life. Forgiveness. I release you, and I release me of those things. Repentance. Forgiveness, more grace, more love, more good. Amen.
God of the resurrection, we come before you humbled by the eternal and never-ending love you have for us. When you created this world, in that moment you created all that was, all that is, and all that ever will be. And you created it all out of great love. You, in fact, loved this world into being, created humankind in your own image. In that image of love. And you ask of each of us to live that image of love in return. But how hard that is for us sometimes. Family members hurt our feelings. Politicians make us angry. Friends betray us. News commentators make us fearful. And our days are filled with those messages. We lament politicians and their messages and actions far more than we lament the social injustices that occur around our world every second of every day. We complain about our families far more than we recognize ourselves as part of a global family that needs healing. We bend and break under the pressures of betrayal by friends, without remembering that you are always with us and you will never betray us. And we watch the news and read breaking news stories each day, far more minutes than we read your word and listen for your messages of love and peace. So in the light of the good news of the resurrection, renew in us our commitment to you. Remind us to turn to you each morning at the break of the day and give thanks for another day. To ask for guidance in our decisions. To ask for forgiveness for the mistakes we may make. And to ask to be filled with your love so that we may radiate your devotion to this world. All this we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who lived and died and lives again, so that we may all find eternal peace and rest and love with you. Amen.